Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, July 6th. I'm Ray Graff. Let me tell you something. This whole computer business is a house of cards. You can't fly a plane without a computer. You can't drive a car. You can't take a train. You can't send gas through a pipeline. The personal and social validation of billions of people requires an internet connection. We are one ransomware attack, one electromagnetic pulse, one coronal mass injection from being back in the Stone Age. I've had it. But if you do have a computer question, Tony Yang is with us today from Albany-based Gig Computers, and he'll answer your computer questions. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Again, the number is 800-348-2551. Computers coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Here to answer your computer and technology questions today is Tony Yang. Tony began Gig Computers back in 1996 while studying computer science at SUNY Albany. He quickly grew that into a huge organization, and he's laughing. Well, it's a reasonable size organization. Tony manages networks for many companies, including this one. If you have a computer question, the guy knows his stuff. 800-348-2551 is the number. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But again, that number is 800-348-2551. Tony Yang, I apologize for being resentful about computers at the beginning of the program, but I'm sick of it. I mean, listen, we got ransomware attacks. We have our very existence crawls to a standstill. Now you tell me before we go on the air that there's this big Windows hack. What's up with that?
Yeah, more good news, right, Ray?
Yeah, what's up?
So there is a known Windows print spooler hack.
Oh, great.
That could potentially create admin accounts remotely if a hacker gets on the same network with you. So if you're at an internet cafe, as an example, like a Starbucks, Windows print spooler service is such a common thing. Every computer has it because otherwise you can't print.
Right.
So it's always on. And if you're on the same network, such as a Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks,
right, Wi-Fi deal,
free Wi-Fi, you're on the same network. It's able to execute codes that will create a local administrator account on your computer without you knowing, therefore gaining full access to your computer.
Oh, fantastic.
And there currently is no fix for that. So the recommended method is to disable the print spooler service.
So no one will print again.
That's right.
This is exhibit A of what I was saying at the beginning of the show.
You turn it on when you need to and then shut it off when you don't. It's a bit painful, but that's what we got now.
And now is that what you'll recommend for your clients?
We have, obviously, the way that we manage that is if you have PCs remotely that's on another network.
Yeah.
You know, computers here, as an example, in WAMC, you don't have outsiders coming in just plugging their computers in.
Right.
It doesn't quite work that way. So you have a minimal amount of concerns here. But if you bring your laptop out to a cafe or you use it in a public Wi-Fi system all the time, absolutely disable it.
This is very interesting. Tony Yang joins us today to answer your computer questions. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. And Jacob from Cohoes, but currently in Western Massachusetts, writes, I remember reading that simple infrastructure computers, like those that run dams and pump stations and train switches, were especially vulnerable to hacks a few years ago. Is this still the case?
Ooh, you know, I can only guess that the answer is no. I mean, the truth is that most of these computers that run these critical infrastructure systems out there, they're actually based on older technology, not the latest. There is something to say about these older chips out there and older infrastructure. They've been out there. It's more stable. You know what the vulnerabilities are. So they tend to use something that's older and not the latest chipset out there. I would think that there are lots of research going into those and to make sure that they're not vulnerable.
You remember those days, though. You're not a young man. You remember the days before there were computers everywhere, right? Wasn't that great? Wasn't that great?
When there was or there wasn't computers.
When there wasn't computers. Yeah. Really, you know, gas went through a pipeline without an IC chip. You know what I mean?
That's right. It makes me sleep a lot better at night knowing that the gas line pipes are not plugged into the internet somehow.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're riding this whole computer business to the bank. So, cha-ching. And this email from Tina in Saugerties. Tina says, I'm not sure if you can answer an Outlook email question, but here goes. Within my inbox, I have a subfolder. I want to send another Outlook user the entire folder. I tried sharing it with them, giving them full permissions, but they can't even see it. How can I send an entire folder and its contents to someone? I also tried dragging it to my desktop to no avail. That's from Tina and Saugerties.
That's a great question. Actually, we do this all the time.
Yeah.
So the good news, Tina, is that within the Microsoft Outlook program, you can go on to the file menu, and there should be a submenu called Tools. It will say Export or Save on there, and that menu will allow you to export either the entire Outlook file or subfolders within it, and I'll export that to what we call a PST file, which is pretty universally accepted as a portable file format for emails.
Yeah.
So if you do that, in fact, within the Outlook program, it's surprisingly sophisticated. It allows you to filter emails based on subject matter, based on wording within the email itself. So you can do all kinds of things to manipulate the file and export one single PST file. And if you email that file to anybody, they can open that up. Anybody that has a Outlook program will be able to open that up. The thing to keep in mind is don't put a password during that export process. Because if you put a password on there, then you got to supply that password to the user.
Tony Yang joins us today to answer your computer and tech questions. The number is 800-348-2551. Patty is in East Greenbush. Hiya, Patty, you're on.
Hi, I'm with you, Ray. This stuff used to be, it seems like I spend more and more time on tech stuff.
And yeah.
It's a big money or time drain. Anyway, I had a crazy thing happen this morning. I've got a monitor that I have plugged into a laptop. It's Windows. And this morning, and I do this every morning working at home, the monitor kept flashing solid colors like red, green, blue, white, and like it wouldn't show words. So I wound up shutting everything down. I tried swapping out the cable, and nothing was helping until I took the monitor and I plugged it into a different laptop. And then all of a sudden it was working. And then when I plugged it back into the first laptop, it's still working. So I don't know if it might be, if it's the monitor, if it's my first laptop's video card, or any ideas of what might be happening.
Yeah, that's a interesting, you know, actually it's an interesting thing because that happens on my desktop setup at home. I got four monitors. On one
four
computer.
Monitors.
Yeah, four monitors. Right, I use it for reference, you know. So I got this nice setup, but every once in a while one of the monitors would start flickering. You get all these crazy colors on it. You can still see the text on there.
Yeah.
On the screen, but you get these weird colors on it. And it did turn out that it was my video card that was going. So once I changed it, it was working fine. I would say for you, Patty, if switching it back and forth works, then most likely rebooting it, turning the laptop off, power off, and power back on would do the trick as well.
Yeah.
So use it for as long as you can, and hopefully that problem won't come back too often for you.
Go ahead, Patty.
Great. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I'll give it a try.
Thanks a lot. Tony Yang, what percentage of the problems you go to troubleshoot can be solved by simply turning off your computer and turning it on again?
Surprisingly, a lot of problems can be solved with that. If it's a software problem, you know, these things that just kind of doesn't make any sense. Chips get overheated after a while.
Yeah.
So if you've been using your computer for 5 hours, depending on where your laptop is, a lot of times you have it on your lap. Sometimes you're sitting in bed and it's on your cover. It gets very, very hot.
Yeah.
So all kinds of weird things can happen. If you just turn it off, give it a few minutes, turn it back on. It solves a lot of different problems.
It's really quite amazing. Let's take a break here. 800-348-2551 is our telephone number. If you have a computer or tech question for our buddy Tony Yang, who's now back in the studio for the first time, in a very long time. We'll be back. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. It's 800-348-2551. If you have a computer question for Tony Yang from Gig Computers, and before we get to the next call, you said Windows 11 is on the horizon.
Windows 11, yes. Microsoft just announced that, I think on June 24th. So Windows 11 is going to be released somewhere later in the year. There's some dates floating around. October 24th or 26th
yeah.
seem to be the more likely dates. So it's on the horizon.
You know, we have seen operating systems come and go. Windows 95 and 98 yeah. and Millennium and whatever else. When you do your business here and you administer computer systems throughout the region, how long do you wait when there's a new operating system? How long do you wait before you say, okay, well, they got the bugs worked out now?
We generally wait until at least the first major service pack comes out.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, Microsoft has done a convincing job with Windows 7 and Windows 10.
I love Windows 10.
They didn't
love it.
No major issues
yeah.
right off the bat. But that hasn't been the truth, you know, the truth historically.
Yeah. What was the biggest dog they had? Was it Windows Millennium or
Millennium? That was a mess.
Yeah, that was not that good.
Remember Windows 8?
Oh, very briefly.
Very briefly.
Yes, I had that very briefly.
It was terrible.
It went right to 10.
I mean, I don't think we upgraded a single client to Windows 8.
up until Windows 10, Windows 98 was my favorite. That's how far back I go with it.
98 was good. Was a good operating system. So going back to Windows 98, that got stable, I think, after the first two service packs.
Yeah.
So it takes a little bit, but they've gotten better with it. The good news about Windows 11, in case your listeners are interested and they're big Android fans, you are now able to run native Android apps on Windows 11.
So what, Cupcake or whatever they call these operating systems?
I mean, you can run your TikTok app now, which
oh,
you can't
oh, I
do
see what you mean. I thought you meant the actual operating system for the Androids.
Oh, yeah, no.
No, okay.
So you're able now to run anything that's available on Amazon Store,
right,
which is basically all Android-based, on a Windows 11 computer. Very exciting. I know I'm excited about it because sometimes I just don't want to use my phone. I want to have it on a big screen.
Yeah. Well, you have four monitors. You might as well put it on a big
monitors.
Screen.
Well, by
the way, what do you do with four monitors?
Well, lots of time I'm using two monitors as a reference. There's so much information out there.
Yeah.
So when we're trying to solve a technical issue, I got to put our reference, kind of encyclopedia, just open it up and then work on two screens below.
Yeah.
So it's not just for looks. It's got a very, very practical function for me.
It's like Iron Man's laboratory. Like Tony, yeah. You should call you Tony Stark. All right, let's go back to the phones. And Catherine is in Sharon, Connecticut. Catherine.
Ah, hello. Thank you so much. I love your show, and I love when Tony is on it. I always learn something.
Oh, thank you.
I hope I'm not going to stump you on this one. I am calling on behalf of a friend of mine who does not have a computer. She's a slightly older woman. And however, she has been having in her home music for
what?
Probably the last 2 months that just occurs randomly.
I'm sorry.
And what? I've Googled this. I, of course, thought, whatever, that this wasn't legitimate. But she's had other people hear it. It's random. It's different things. It can be speaking. Mostly it's music. And she's had the cable company come out and check it. Again, there's no computer, but phone, whatever. She
yes.
has a security system. I'm wondering if it has to do with software with a security system.
This is amazing. Is it clear? Does the music come through loud and clear?
Sometimes it's a little louder, not loud and clear, but a little louder, discernible, and mostly muffled. One time woke her up in the middle of the night with,
wow.
you know, it was a night program.
Wow.
Someone saying out loud, I love you, I love you.
Good Lord.
So a radio station,
yeah.
a receiver,
yeah.
antenna, I don't know where to put her in. It's
driving
her crazy.
It's not a computer question, Tony. I think we need an exorcist as well.
Yeah, you know, it's making Ghostbusters here.
No, I have an idea.
Mm.
Okay, so Catherine, when I was a kid, I lived within a quarter mile of a country music station. It was an AM station. And we had, my folks had, you know, forced hot air and, you know, the little radiator, not radiator, but the forced hot air ducts in the floor. And there were metal covers on them. Well, this was a country station. Every now and then, out of nowhere, I'd start hearing Conway Twitty. And it was literally modulating and coming through the metal of the radiators of the forced hot air system. There was a story in Troy many years ago now where there was a church, and they would randomly get taxi calls over the PA at the church while the priest was giving his homily or whatever. And so I suspect that this older lady friend of yours is probably receiving, if there's a radio station close, you could check the pattern of the signal. And if she's in that main lobe, it's your first guess.
So try to find out the radio station and contact them directly?
Well, if you're in that main lobe and they are within FCC tolerances, there's probably not a lot she can do. But that's not necessarily true. And it may not even be that. Maybe the station is running, illegal power or a dirty signal with a lot of harmonics. Maybe it's not that at all. Maybe it's something really crazy.
Yeah. Well, it's really crazy, and it's driving her that way.
Wow.
So, okay. Yeah, I know. And, you know, if you Google this, there are countless episodes of this by a pipe or by this part of the house. And again, the same thing. So it happens. So I'm thinking somewhere if it happens, there must be an answer.
Tony, you ever hear about this?
No, I got nothing for you on that.
Well, Catherine, good luck. And you know what? Do me a favor. Some show, I don't care. This really doesn't fit in with computers. So if you ever find out the answer, regardless of the topic, call in the show and let me know. I'm curious now.
All right, you got it.
Thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551. You see, Tony?
Wow.
You see what you missed the last 15 months when you weren't here? Crazy. Mike in Saratoga. Mike, you're on.
Oh, good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm going to start by saying I did not turn it on and off because it won't turn on. And I'm talking about an 8-year-old iMac desktop computer. It's more of my wife and children's computer. I'm a Windows guy. So this morning, it was kind of fortuitous that you're on today, but it just didn't boot up. It doesn't do anything out of nowhere. And I think the last time they used it was probably a week or two ago.
Okay. Now, this is a general hardware question, even though you're not an iMac guy. There are certain things that are common.
Yes.
Power supplies and whatnot.
That's very true. So typically, in a situation like that, the first thing that I will recommend anybody do is just to unplug the power cord off from the wall, and then push your on button a few times just to clear all the residual electricity. People don't think about this usually, but you know, when you unplug from the wall, these capacitors on the motherboard and various other components have electricity still in them, and it stays in there sometimes, could be for days.
Yeah.
So what you want to do is you want to clear everything out just in case, and believe it or not, that gets things to boot lots of times.
Interesting. Do you understand that line, Mike?
So, without the power cord in, just press the power switch a few times. And if that doesn't work, is there a step two or not?
Well, you want to make sure that your power supply is running. So there are diagnostic steps to go through to see it's process of elimination at that point. So there's no exact science to it. A lot of times it's usually a video card issue, a motherboard issue, or most likely a power supply issue.
Yeah.
A quick question. Is it worth saving? If it doesn't come on, should I take it to somebody or should we start looking for a new one?
Yeah. Being that it's 8 years old, you're right on that borderline. I will certainly try to at least get the data out.
Yeah, try to get that thing working, Mike. Don't let this guy tell you differently. Let us know how you did. Thanks for the call. We go to Pete in Albany. Pete, you're on.
Hi, and I now realize you said that he's not really a Mac person, but I did have a question about a Mac, so
give it a shot.
I'll ask it. Yeah. During the pandemic, I was kind of looking for part-time work, and a lot of them were use your own home computer and with a Windows program. I have a Mac. That's an older Mac. But I found it difficult. I found it very difficult to try to install Windows. In general, if you're going to get a part-time job from home, are you really limited by having a Mac compared to...
Oh, interesting question.
Mike, actually, there most programs have versions for the Mac, especially now that programs are lots of times web-based.
Yeah.
If it's web-based, then it's a cross-platform.
Mm-hmm.
But if you only have a Mac and you want to use a Windows program on the Mac, you can get the software called Parallel. It's what we call a hyper visor for computers. It allows you to run multiple operating systems within a single computer. So you can have your Mac running and have a little window that runs parallel, and you can put Windows 10 on that, and that will allow you to install any Windows 10 software on there.
Interesting.
So that's the way to go. That's how we kind of get around these platforms, softwares on different platforms. So we have clients who use Mac, and we have clients who use PCs, and they just want to run this other software that they can't otherwise do. They'll use a hypervisor like Parallel. So that's something to look into. I think that'll be really helpful to you.
And like the other gentleman, I have an older Mac. It's probably also 8 or more years old. I might be limited by the ability, not just the hardware, but the operating systems might not be compatible anymore.
Well, Parallel goes back a long way. It's been out for many, many years, over 10 years. So I think you'll be able to find a version that would run on your Mac OS.
Pete, thank you very much for the call. Now, running Parallel like that, is that if you were to put Windows 10 on, another operating system, mm-hmm. is that a resource hog? I mean, will some of these older computers not be able to handle that strain?
You can go back. I mean, computers within the last 10 years, I would say, are more than capable of running it.
Okay.
I have on my PC, I got a Mac running, which actually you're not supposed to.
Oh, really?
But I have a full Mac OS running on there. I have Linux running on there, and multiple versions of Windows running.
Interesting.
It works well. And my computer is probably about 5 years old.
Yeah.
It runs them great.
So you got a 5-year-old computer and 4 monitors.
That's right.
Time to upgrade the old operating conditions there.
Let's go. Move up to 8 monitors.
Let's go to Laura in Albany. Laura, you're on.
Hello. I have a question. Actually, I have 2 questions, but the first one is I have Windows 10 and I got Outlook from Microsoft, but it's not the work version. It's the personal version. And I can't open up .msg. I had Outlook, a different version at my office. And when I try to save emails, it comes up. I can do it. I figure out how to do it, and I have Windows 10, but it's a .eml. So I'm wondering, is there a way that I can open up the .msg file, or do I have to get like the business version of Outlook, which isn't that much more expensive? But and I don't like the way like the current Outlook, the setup, it's not as organized as the business one where you can look at the dates and search with names, and it stays up there so you don't have to constantly be redoing it if you look at an email under a name search or something.
Laura, I am not aware of a home version and a business version of Outlook. I might have to look into this a little bit, but there is, so Microsoft Office, which includes Outlook most of the time, have a home version, student version, education version, professional version, but they don't differ in its capability and functionality. They differ in what's included with the software. So as an example, Office Professional has Microsoft PowerPoint that's a part of the package, which is why it's $500 or $600 a piece. While the student version doesn't have Outlook, doesn't have PowerPoint, doesn't have Publisher. But the software that is included are all the same.
Go ahead, Lori.
Okay, so I got the subscription, and it's not the business subscription. But the way the emails are organized on the screen, like the format of the emails, it's not as searchable. I mean, you can search it, but it doesn't keep it, you know, with the names. Like, it doesn't organize it alphabetically if you say names, you know, for the format. You can search by a name, but then if you search and you click on something, you go back, you have to search again. It doesn't hold it there like it does, for example, in Google Mail. If you're searching, it keeps all of your searches so you can go back after you open one that's in that grouping of, you know, that you search by name.
Mm. Yeah, I think that what you're looking at is probably perhaps a different interface to the software. So what may need to happen is organization of the views. Like, you can customize Outlook in thousands of different ways, where it gives you the default screen either gives you more detail or less detail. You can have things right. pop up on the bottom, but the functionalities are all the same. So I will okay. confirm that, but okay. I'm pretty sure that there's no functional difference between the versions of Outlook.
Lori, thanks a lot for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Computers Today with Tony Yang. Pat is in lovely Rome, New York. Pat, you're on.
Hi. I have a question about Teams. I've Googled this issue, and it's driving everybody at my office crazy. We want to be able to change the default notification sound in Microsoft Teams. And I've Googled it. I've tried to see if there was something in the registry that we could change because it's just a little too quiet.
Hmm.
You have any suggestions?
Hmm. I'm going to have to get back to you on that one. Not a whole lot of our clients use Microsoft Teams. It's great. Great platform, I think. You're talking about when there's like an instant message that comes through from another user?
Well, you can turn that off.
Chat function.
Okay. The honest Microsoft team, which I don't think that is any different, they use built-in sounds under Windows platform. So it's not a Microsoft Teams sound. It's actually a Windows sound. In that case, you can change it to any file that you want. But I will get more details back to you on that.
Yeah.
Can I just ask a quick follow-up?
Sure,
would
go
you
ahead.
Wait,
sure.
If you're going to be buying a new computer, would you wait for Windows 11 or just go with Windows 10?
You know, I was hoping somebody would ask that, and I forgot to mention it.
I would have done that.
So here's the great news about the Windows 11 upgrade. If you currently are running on Windows 10, it's a free upgrade.
Really?
Crazy.
Nice. Yeah.
They charge you for everything else.
Thank you so much.
That's amazing. Pat, thanks a lot for the call. We'll take a quick break here. Tony Yang is our guest. We'll hit the email bag in a moment. voxpop@wamc.org is our email address. The number is 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. The breaks on this program can be multifold in their uses. We can hear some Sonny Rollins, but while we're doing that, Tony was researching the last question. You got an answer for us.
Okay. So a couple of things to try. Under the profiles in Microsoft Teams, there's a way to change the sound, and the volume adjustments are there as well. The other thing that you might want to look at is the volume control in Windows itself, because Windows, depending, you can raise the volume to 100%.
Yeah.
But within it, there are subcategories of sounds.
Right.
So there's a media sound, there's
system.
Music.
Yeah.
That might not be at the right setting. So if you raise that up,
okay.
Now all of a sudden your volume is 10 times it was before.
So if Pat spends a good 9 or 10 hours going through her computer, she'll be able to figure that one out. This email from Kathy in Delmar. Now, this is an iPhone question, but I think this touches on something that happens to a lot of people regardless of whether they have an Android or an iPhone. Kathy writes, I have an iPhone that has been receiving what I assume are spam type of texts. They consist of a string of random numbers and or letters, sometimes include phone numbers that I recognize, often end in vzn.org or .com. Mm-hmm. They often have an attachment. Should I delete them immediately, and how can I stop them? Should I bring in my device for a security check?
Yeah, it is unfortunately a really common problem. And this is not just on iPhones, it's on Androids, you know, you name it. All the phones are having problems because the marketing companies just want to get to you somehow. So the VZN, that's a message from Verizon Wireless.
You're kidding me.
Yep, and it happens all the time. I get these notifications, whether they're official or unofficial, from Verizon. I will say that, you know, be vigilant about what you click on. If there's a link on there and it just doesn't look right, or you're not expecting it, don't click on it, because it's very likely it's going to take you to a place that you don't want to be.
So it could be spoofed, the VZN?
Yes, it can.
Interesting.
I mean, a text message is just a text message.
Yeah.
So there is, however, a FCC regulation that's about to come out, which requires, actually a friend of mine is in the software development for texting. So FCC now is going to require that every call you make and every text that you sent to be authenticated, meaning you can't fake an FBI's phone number if you're using a unofficial FBI phone. Right now, believe it or not, I can go on to my phone system and put whatever number I want to put on it, put whatever name I want to put on there, and then call you as an example, right, on your cell phone, and it will show up as FBI or CIA. So it's very easy to do.
Do you really want to admit these things on the air? I mean, really? You really want to do that? All right. Okay. This is from Larry. Larry writes, I was in a rush, and my 2015 MacBook Pro running High Sierra was doing something. I asked for it to cancel. After hitting cancel, my desktop icons disappeared. I can still see but can't access all the files through Finder, but it would be great to get all of my icons back. HD storage used appears to say no files were lost.
Huh. Where is Mark when you need him?
Yeah, I know. we're going to endeavor to find a real Mac expert to join us again.
That's right.
But you wing it now, Tony. Go ahead.
All right. I'll make something up. No, I won't do that. Mac, as with any other systems out there, have desktop default settings on there.
Yeah.
So I will recommend setting it back to its original settings and that the taskbar and a desktop should come back to the way that it was originally. So that at least an easier problem to solve.
A good start there. Our number here is 800-348-2551, and we'll be getting back to your phone calls in a moment here. A couple of more emails. This one is from Annie in Niskayuna. I have a crack. Something fell on it in the black plastic corner in the upper left of my Dell computer. Not near the screen. I tried duct tape. Didn't work. What would Tony do?
It's on the screen itself.
It's hard to say. It says computer cracked. It's in the black plastic corner in the upper left of my Dell computer.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if that means the computer tower or the screen itself, but it says not near the screen. So it's probably the bezel around.
The bezel on there. Yeah. What would I do? If it works and everything looks good, honestly, I probably just glue it with some crazy glue.
Yeah. That's amazing stuff.
Practical. Oh, yeah. Multifunction crazy glue.
How many of your four monitors have cracks?
None? None of them, fortunately, so far.
This one is from Mark. Aside from all of the email platforms that exist, there are now a great many third-party apps for your phone or computer. Some of these third-party apps actually allow you to preview part of an email before you open it. They offer this feature as a benefit, but is this really a good idea? How do you feel about these third-party email apps? Are they safe? And that's from Mark.
Yeah, I think generally, if you can download an application off the official stores, so Google Play, Apple Store, Microsoft Store, if you can download it from these official sources, you shouldn't be too concerned about its security, because they vet these softwares. Actually, they do a good amount of vetting before it's released on their stores. Mm. Other than that, I wouldn't try what some people do, which is to jailbreak it and install these unofficial software. Mm. Then it gets dicey.
Okay. Last email, and then we'll get back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Here's another iPhone question. Maybe you can do this one. It's an iPhone 6, goes back a ways. This is from Glenn in Dalton. I have an iPhone 6, has no memory or storage space left. I am now trying to upgrade to a new iPhone SE, but I can't back up the iPhone 6 in order to put the old data onto the new phone. I've erased every app I can other than Safari, and there is still not enough space on the phone to back it up with my laptop using iTunes. Any ideas?
Yeah, so I do know quite a bit about iPhones because a lot of our clients use Apple devices. It sounds to me like if you have uninstalled all the applications off the iPhone and there's still not enough space left in there, then it probably has to do with either your email content on that phone or it's media, you know, pictures, videos on the iPhone. So the thing to do with that is to clear that out. You can back it up to iCloud if you want to, or you can plug the iPhone onto a computer and have it viewed as an extra drive on there and just drag the files over.
I wonder, could it also be, and I'm just guessing here, you know how like when you have your desktop computer and you have your browser, every now and then you will just for fun check and you'll have a billion temp files in your browser. Could that Safari have a lot of temporary files from browsing?
So Apple does a pretty good job on not accumulating a lot of junk.
Yeah.
Comparing that to Windows, it's a much, much better engineered system.
Interesting.
And temp files are meant to be recycled over time. So it's a possibility. I will look maybe at your recycling bin, but because again, recycling bins are automatically the files are automatically deleted when you need more space. So that wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm thinking that media files is the trouble here.
Tony Yang joins us today. Computers on Vox Pop, 800-348-2551, the number. Patricia is in Belchertown. Hello, Patricia.
Hello, how are you guys today?
Good, how are you?
Good. I have a question about Windows 10. When I put that on my computer, I found that I could no longer open a file without saving it. If someone sent me an attachment or in my work that I do online, if I open up something, I have to save it in order to read it. Is there a way to get around that?
Yes, that typically is a software setting. So if you open up, if you open up a file on a browser, as an example, there is a setting within the browsers that automatically goes to saving mode versus opening mode. So depending on the software that you're using, it's always a personal setting within the software itself. On Microsoft Chrome, it's in the setting options where there's a space that there's a menu. I can't tell you specifically exactly which location it is, but there is this location on there that allows you to save files whenever you click on it. Anything that's not a web page view would pop up the save menu. So if you change that to having it automatically open as long as there's a software that can open it, then it will open the file for you automatically.
It will open it without me having to save it first, because I'm on my computer now on Chrome.
Yeah.
And which is what I use. I don't see anything in here. Is it under downloads or?
Yes, actually.
Or settings?
It would be under settings. You go into settings, there is a, I am going to try to take a look since I got my computer open up here as well.
Oh, you're cheating again. Darn it.
So
I'm in settings and there's a whole bunch of stuff here, but I don't know what.
Yeah. So if you look under the advanced menu and it's where it says downloads, part of that setting that allows you to either open it or save it right on the screen. So if you change that, if you change the setting on there to not download but view, that will take care of that. The other thing that you want to look at is within the Windows system, there's a feature called file association.
Yeah.
So sometimes the settings get screwed up so that if you download a PDF file, because that file association is lost, meaning there's no Adobe Acrobat to open it up, if it doesn't know that it needs to open up Adobe Acrobat Reader to open up a PDF file, it won't do it. So a couple of places to check. The File Association might also be where your issue is coming from.
Okay, because in settings, under advanced. Oh, I see. Downloads. Okay.
All right.
So you think there's something in here that I can click on to make it?
So you know, the other thing to do would be to install the program over again. So if you got a program that you want to use to open up a particular file that you're downloading, you can try reinstalling that, and that usually will associate the file again for you.
All right.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate your help.
Patricia, thanks a lot for the call. Tony Yang joins us. The number is 800-348-2551 if you have a computer or tech question, or you can email voxpop@wamc.org. Let's go to Lee, Massachusetts. Hendy, you're on.
Hi. I dropped my iPhone 10 in the pool. I was able to recover it within a minute. They happen to be waterproof. The only problem is I ran in, put it in a bowl of rice, kept it in there for 6 hours. Then I tried to charge it, to put the plug in to charge it, and it wouldn't charge. So I ordered a wireless charger, and that seemed to work. But I have pictures that I want to download, and now I can't get them off. And I looked at it, and my daughter said, "You got a piece of rice stuck in there." How would I get smashed piece of rice out of the little port where the charger goes?
Wow. All right. That's a good one. All right, Tony.
We're getting all kinds of stuff today.
Yeah.
First thing I'm thinking of, I can think of is a paperclip.
What about shop vac?
Shop vac, you could try that. Usually if I have to clean things within these little spaces, a paperclip. A thin paperclip does the
trick. Paperclip, that wouldn't hurt it. Maybe how about a toothpick or a dental pick?
Yeah, anything with a sharp edge would do it. You obviously have to be careful because the contacts.
Gently and try to maneuver it out.
That's right.
It's been like 3 weeks. I haven't touched it. I haven't tried to plug it in again because I realized that I pushed it right in immediately and I got a wet piece of rice up right in there.
Yeah, you know, that rice is probably cooked by now. If you can get it out, it'd be delicious.
You know, the other thing to keep in mind is if you need to download the pictures, you can upload that wirelessly onto an iCloud or some type of an online service and do it that way.
I can do it. I can get my photos off. I happen to be a photographer,
yes.
I'm really suffering.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You can save all those files onto an online storage place, so you can use Dropbox.
What else is there besides iCloud, or is that the one that everyone does?
That's on a Apple platform. That's the most common thing that people use. But you can use things like Dropbox.
Okay, so in order to do that, I would look online and Google how to do that.
Yeah, I mean, Tony mentioned Dropbox. That's one, but there are any number of those.
There are.
But Dropbox, I have like another 350 pictures to get off there. So Dropbox doesn't seem like that would be happening. No.
Box.net is another option. They'll give you another, I think, terabyte for free.
What's another option?
Box.net.
Box.net. Yep. I've not heard of that one.
Box.net?
That's right. Yeah, they're Dropbox.
Those are my options.
No, there was probably several out there. Hey, listen, I want to know how the rice was, so when you get back to on the next show, give us a call, all right?
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot. 800-348-2551. Weird show today, eh, Tony? Welcome back, eh? Joanna in South Hadley. Joanna, you're on.
Good. I hope this will be pretty quick. I've been retired for a couple of years, but when I was in a work environment with a PC, I used to be able to go to a website, grab all the HTML from the site, put it into, I think it was Notepad in Microsoft, and be able to change it and then be able, you know, it was WYSIWYG. Mm-hmm. I could flip it back and forth from the HTML text to see what it would be like on the web.
Yeah.
Does this ring any bells for you?
Oh, absolutely.
Can you refresh my memory how to do it?
How to edit the HTML file?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And be able to, you know, I don't know HTML, but I used to be able to put it into Word and change it and then flip it back and see what it would look like on the web.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can approach this in several different ways. We do this all the time, just as an experiment. So if you have a page that you want to edit, you can first save that page. Onto your, save a local copy. So that becomes the HTML file. A lot of new things are based on ASP and different formats, but at the core of it, XML, which is essentially a more advanced version of HTML, it's still, at the end of the day, text-based, so you can manipulate these files.
Yep.
If you're using Chrome, Chrome has a developer mode, which allows you to see the actual code on the bottom. So it's got built-in tools that will allow you to
inspect and edit
the actual page right on within the Chrome browser itself. So the
I usually use Netscape now on my PC.
Wow, I haven't heard Netscape used in a long time.
Boy, back in AOL days.
Yeah.
Netscape, you know, unfortunately, I haven't looked at Netscape for years, but I suspect that it must have a developer mode as well. And I just pulled up Yahoo's page on Google.
I'm not using the Netscape now. I'm sorry. I'm Firefox now.
Okay. Yep. Firefox definitely has it.
I just happen
to be using Chrome right now, and I go into the tools, and it's right there. It says Developer Tools. If you click on that, it tells you what the codes are. And if you manipulate it, it will come up the way that you want it to be.
All right, Joanna, thanks so much for the call. We only have 1 minute left with our buddy Tony Yang, Larry in Hudson. Larry, you're on.
Hi, I have an iPhone XS E that makes ghost calls. I had it at the iPhone store. They said it was a screen issue. They replaced it. Driving home, the same thing happened. I then got a new phone, new XS E from Apple, and the same thing happens. The phone could be sitting on a seat next to me, on a table next to me, and it calls people.
Oh, my God. Huh. Terrifying.
Wow. That,
Did you hear the lady from Sharon, Connecticut, who has the music coming through her house?
Oh, I'm not surprised. My phone also takes screenshots. It opens apps that aren't open. It does everything on its own.
That's crazy.
Wow, man.
A brand new phone. Man. Okay. Hey, Larry, one thing to try just quickly. Disable Siri on there. See if that makes any difference.
Oh, good idea. I think we lost Larry.
Yeah.
Maybe his
phone. No, I'm here.
All right. Did you hear that?
I heard it.
Yeah, okay. Because Siri can do all kinds of weird things, you know? You know, so if you disable that, see if that works.
Dude, this is the weirdest computer show we've ever done.
It's just great stuff.
Yeah, I gotta be honest with you. We need a break from this one. Hey, Tony Yang, thanks a lot. How do people find Gig on the internet?
GigSystems.com on the web.
Thanks.
It's great to be here.
Great to have you back. Support comes from Interim Healthcare, providing companions, aides, and nurses in the home 2 to 24 hours a day, serving the Capital Region, Columbia County, Glens Falls, and Saratoga. InterimHealthcare.com. Red Mannequin at 1 Main Street in Chatham, New York, a curated collection of clothing, accessories, and gifts designed by selected artisans. CP Shades, James Purse, Trip and Shoes, RedMannequin.com. At Public Sale Auction Hudson, presenting Weird and Wonderful Auction July 17th from 10 to 5. A collection of antiques and oddities. Preview July 10th through July 17th. Public-sale.com. Once again, thanks to Tony Yang for being here today. That was like almost Art Bellish. It was so bizarre. So that was a lot of fun. Thank you all for the great calls. And thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Phones answered expertly by Ed Rosen. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, after a several-month absence, we welcome back Gordon Fricke. He will help you diagnose your car troubles, unless it's making random calls, in which case you're on your own. That's tomorrow at 2. Stand by now for The Book Show.